Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, the truth of the Bible, the truth of the Word of God, the truth and understanding as to why we are in trouble and difficulty as a nation, and the only way out. Now, let's understand something very thoroughly here. Very few are going to repent. So as far as a mass movement requiring great repentance from everyone, from the greatest to the least, from the rich to the poor, it's not going to happen. However, if you and I repent, God will bless us and watch over us and will keep us. But we have to turn to God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our being. Now, it would be wonderful if the whole nation would do that. It would be marvelous if there would be repentance with everyone and a determination to really return to God, because that's what repentance is all about. That you repent of your sins, God forgives you, but as Jesus said, go and sin no more. You don't continue living in your sins. You don't take the grace and mercy of God and say, well, I have license to do whatever I want to do, because all you're doing is mocking God. Let's come back here to Jeremiah 3 and verse 22. Here's what needs to be done. Now, we could all hope that it could be the nation. If not the nation, then a good number of people. If not a good number of people, then whoever, wherever the few are that will really repent and listen to God and determine to obey His voice and walk in His ways and believe in Jesus Christ the way that He said. That's the only way out of terrorism, and that's the only way of protection. Now, we're going to see that in spite of what's going on in the world, if we do that, God will honor it. Let's begin right here. Verse 22, Jeremiah 3. Return, O backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come to you, and you are the Lord our God. That's what we need to do. That's how it needs to be said. See? Now, come down here to chapter 4 and verse 1. Notice how this verse starts out. If, that big two-letter word, if you'll return, O Israel, says the Lord, put your name there. Will you return to God? Will you forsake your sins? Will you seek to do what is right? That's what God wants. And if you ask God to help you, He will lead you in it. God will send His Spirit to be with you. See, rather than worry about all the terrorists and worry about the things that go on, those things are going to happen. So let's start with you. Let's start with me. Let's start with those that you know. Tell them about Church at Home. Get the book. Lord, what should I do? That's what you need right now. Lord, what should I do? The world is falling apart, but what should I do? If you write for that book, we'll send it to you, no cost. If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me, and if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be removed. God gave, through Jeremiah, at least a dozen times where He said, Nebuchadnezzar's coming to invade you and take you away, but if you would keep the Sabbath, you'll remain. Here He says, if you return to me and put away your abominations, you won't be taken out of the land. Well, here we have it. If we return to God, we can receive eternal salvation. That's the stake today. Put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be removed. And will swear, we can say confess, the Lord lives in truth, in judgment, in righteousness. The nations shall bless themselves in Him, and Him shall they glory. It's what needs to be done. Are you willing to confess that? Are you willing to acknowledge that? That the Lord lives in truth? His word is truth. His laws are truth. His commandments are truth. His way is truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. From a God who cannot lie. Do you believe that? All right, let's go on. Verse 4, circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, men of Judah and people of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that none can put it out because of the evil of your doings. Now we need to cease. If there were to be repentance in the whole land, that's what God told Jeremiah to do, to see if there would be any repentance. Come to Jeremiah 7. God told Jeremiah to go stand in the gate of the temple, right where the people come in. Verse 2, and proclaim this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all of Judah, who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Let it be in every church. Let it be in every place. Let someone be there standing saying to this nation, to this government, to the religions, to the priests, to the pastors, to the imams, you better hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings. That means change, repent, and notice. And I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in lying words. And boy, that's what we trust in. That's why we have the debt. That's why we have the crime. That's why we have the murder. That's why we have deceitful government. That's why we have everything turned upside down. You trust in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, temple of the Lord are these. No, today we say, oh, we're Americans. Well, our industriousness will bring us back. All we have to do is just have the right principles and the right values. But they never tell you what they really are, do they? And if we just work hard, we'll be able to come out of this. We'll do it ourselves. We've done it how many times over? Not this time. Maybe a little reprieve. But the Bible says the borrower is the slave of the lender. And we have almost incalculable debt. If you think it's only $14 trillion, you got another thought coming. If you add up all the debt, public and private, state and county and city, it's over $300 trillion. That's never going to be paid. And unless there's the kind of repentance that is here, this nation is going into captivity in its own land. Notice verse 5. Here's what needs to be. If you will thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you will thoroughly execute judgment between man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, abortion, nor walk after other gods to your own hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit, and yet you demand the truth from everybody else. And it begins with the president, and it begins with the queen. And it begins with the head of every government. You trust in lying words. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you have not known? And then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, saying, we are delivered to do all these abominations. We have grace. God overlooks it. Let's bring all the religions together. Oh, we're all good people. Lie, lie, lie. I mean, we need to put on our spiritual caps and think. He says, has this house which is called by my name, or this nation, this country, which is called by the name of God, God bless America. become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, says the Lord. God sees it. He tells you to repent. Let's come here to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33 and verse 10. And you, son of man, speak to the house of Israel. Thus shall you speak, saying, when our transgressions and our sins are upon us and we're wasting away in them, how shall we then live? You can't. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no delight in the death of the wicked. No, God doesn't want to destroy them. He has no delight in it. But if you sin and transgress and go against God, you are asking him to do so. Because God cannot lie. And he gave blessings and cursings. I have no delight in the death of the wicked, except the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? No, God does not delight in the death of the wicked. Will you turn? You turn to God? You want the blessings of God? If you do, God promises none of your sins will be mentioned. But if you are doing what is right and you go sin like Solomon sinned and other people have sinned, all of your righteousness which you have done will not be mentioned. See, because in the day that you sin, and sinning when you sin, unless you repent, you're not going to have a reprieve from God, because he can never bless anyone in sin. Let's come to Psalm 51, because this is the psalm that gives us the model of repentance with all our hearts. We've got to go to God and repent with all our hearts, not tear our garments, but tear our hearts. Because God is weary of repentance, of well intentions, but are never done. This is after David came to his senses and repented for his sin of Bathsheba in killing her husband Uriah the Hittite in battle. Verse 1, cried out to God. This is how you need to start. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. That's what you need to do. Take this psalm, open up the Bible, get on your knees before God, lay out your sins before God, confess them. God will forgive you. But here's what has to happen, verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. That's why the New Testament talks about the washing of the water by the word. So you go on to our other website, cbcg.org, and we have 3 sermons on the washing of the water by the word, how to cleanse your mind, cleanse your emotions, overcome your sin. See? You need that. Cleanse me from my sins. Now notice, here's what you have to do, verse 4. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be in the right when you judge. Yes, God is always right. God is always merciful. God is always compassionate. Let's continue on here. Verse 6, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you shall make me to know wisdom. That's the prayer you need to have. Use this whole prayer. Deliver us from guilt. Deliver us from these things. Now let's notice another thing. While we're on our way to Psalm 91, let's come to Psalm 86. Will God forgive you? Yes. Of course. Let's read it here. See how David came after God's heart with this kind of attitude and pleaded with God and shed the tears, and God cleansed his heart and cleansed his mind. Notice here, verse 1. Here's how you can pray to God. Use this prayer too the same way. Bow down your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O you, my God, save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry unto you all day long. Now, that's something. That's the kind of repentance that God loves and honors and will bless and will be with you and lift the guilt and lift the pain and lift the wretchedness out of your life. Verse 4, rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Now, notice verse 5. This is a key, important thing to understand, because some people say, oh, I've sinned so bad, God can't forgive my sin. Yes, he can. The only sin that is not forgiven is the rejection and blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which comes directly from God the Father, meaning you have rejected God the Father, the highest sovereign that there is. Jesus said, every sin shall be forgiven man, and every blasphemy against the Son of Man will be forgiven him. You can claim that promise. But notice verse 5. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, rich in mercy to all those who call upon you. God is there ready to forgive, willing to forgive. Will you repent? Will you return to God? Will you follow the advice that is given in the Bible? Will you save yourself from this untoward generation and save yourself from all of the difficulties and problems that are coming? That doesn't mean we won't suffer through some things. That doesn't mean we won't have hard times. That means we'll be right with God. And God will watch over us. We can claim the promise of God watching over us, see? That's what that means. We are going to face desperate times down the road, and this country is going to literally come unglued when all the debt comes crashing in, which it will. Now, the question remains, are you going to be out there to be devastated, or are you going to be on God's side? Which is it? Remember where we started? If? Remember the if? If you'll obey God, if you will love God, he will send his angels and watch over you. Notice verse 6. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, and you will answer me. Yes, God will do that. He will answer you. He will hear your prayer. That's why church at home. Because at home, you can have a place to pray, a quiet, private place. Clear everything away. Get rid of the clutter. Get rid of the junk. Find a place to pray. Use your Bible. Open your Bible. And use the Psalms to help you to pray. He will answer you. He will answer you by changing your heart, by changing your mind. And then you need to enter into covenant with God through baptism. And that covenant with God is for eternal life. Repentance is the first step. And repentance is what we need to do continuously because of the very nature that we have as human beings. I do, you do, every other human being needs to, you see. Yes, let's come here to Psalm 91 now. And you can use this psalm, claim this psalm for a blessing, for protection, for God being with you, watching over you. And this is supernatural protection that comes from God. No one else can see it, but you will experience it. Verse 1, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Isn't that interesting? You can't see a shadow when you're looking toward where the shadow comes down. But if you are under it, you are under the blessing and protection of God. But here's how you need to approach God and claim those promises. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, that you trust him with all your heart and mind and soul and being. Surely he will deliver you from the fowler's trap and from the destroying pestilence. Those are going to come, and they're going to come big time. This nation is going to get hit so hard, it won't know what is headed, and it's going to come so devastatingly that people are going to be aghast. Now notice, you can trust in God. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Do you love the truth of God? Do you love the word of God? Do you love the God of truth? And Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what you need to do. Now notice verse 5. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. You won't have to worry about terrorism. Nor for the arrow that flies by day. Nor for the plague that walks in darkness. Nor for the destruction laying waste at noonday. Now how bad is it going to get? It's gotten this bad in the past. And God has prophesied and said it's going to be in the future. What did Jesus say about these days? For then shall be great tribulation, such as not has been since there was a nation, nor shall ever be again. Notice what he says here. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not come near you. Only with your eyes you shall behold and see the recompense of the wicked, because I have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Think of that. That's a promise to claim. God has given it. God, who cannot lie and will not lie, has given this promise. This is what we need to do in the days in which we are living and the times which are coming down the pike. The world isn't going to repent. We can guarantee that by what the prophecies of the Bible say. Very few are going to repent. Oh, they're going to call on God. Oh, they're going to think that they have Jesus. Yes, they are going to think that, oh, yes, we're okay with God. Well, it isn't going to happen. Just like we've already covered, there isn't going to be any rapture. This is what you need to rely on right here. Verse 11, and he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, and they shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Verse 15, he shall call upon me. That's what we are to do. Call upon God, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. You want to be on God's side? If you are, that's what's going to happen. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, long life is eternal life. See, terrorism may be abated for a while, but until there is repentance, it's going to continue. And it's going to come like the waves of the sea, one after another. Difficulties, problems, storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, fires, droughts, floods, invading armies. So the good news is, Christ is going to return. And the good news is, if you yield to him, you'll be able to overcome. He will watch over you and bless you. So I hope that you really understand where terrorism comes from. And the only real cure is repentance and return to God. So don't forget to go to our other website, cbcg.org, and we have hundreds and hundreds of sermons there that you can download. We have hundreds of videos, too, full-length sermons. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone. Thank you.